welcome to Get Over It, the Consciousness Transforming Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. The information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you shift your consciousness to break through blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you let go of the BS that is holding you back, but you guys know I always ask that question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience supporting people to break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing cutting-edge information that enables you to prosper and thrive. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I also authored 2 books. I provide consultations and healings in all areas of life that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your very best life. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence, but they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist, so whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, NathMoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. 2-time best-selling author, professional speaker, educator, and parent, Jeannie Siskel Meth shares her scientifically proven system for improving communication and decreasing conflict. She has written many magazine articles, has been quoted in Forbes, and was a contributor for The Blaze. She has been a guest on numerous radio shows across the country as well as TV, and you can check her out at her website, and that is BullyProofingYouBook.com. Again, BullyProofingYouBook.com. Welcome back, Jeannie.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I love being here.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to have you. Okay, so, folks, she has done recordings before for us, so you can check it out on the podcast page where however you are listening to us. I'm just like so jazzed. There's like so many multiple outlets that carry this show. But back to you, Jeannie. Let's give folks a little background. What helped you when you finished school when you were told that you were too stupid to make it? I mean, you went through some horrific bullying. I'm going to say as a younger child, a young adult. How did you get past that, and what was your vindication when you finally finished school?
Definitely my faith in God. You know, my belief, my hope, my faith, and my parents as well. Right there with me, helping me, you know, guiding me. And it was that, you know, when somebody sticks a finger in your face and says, you can't do this, you have 2 choices. You could say, yeah, you're right, or you could say, no, you're wrong, watch me. And that was my response. You know, when they told me, you're too stupid, you'll never make it through school, it was the perfect thing to say to me because it ticked me off. And I was like, you don't decide, I decide. And so I was, you know, going to make it through whatever it took. And it took a lot. It really did. It was difficult. It was hard. And I feel so grateful that I had some key teachers in high school, speaking specifically about Coach Pat Emerson, my basketball coach. Mm-hmm. And I was 6 feet tall, and he's like, we need you on the team. And he believed in me, and he believed in me enough that I could start believing in me, and that changed everything.
Well, you know, it's really amazing how one voice, and it could be a very soft voice, but one voice that gives you support allows you to hang on, plus move forward, regardless of what other people are telling you. And I guess to some degree with you, it could have been what you were willing to buy into. It seems like your parents didn't support you being not bright enough to get out of school.
Right, and that's the important thing that I that's the lesson I really want to start off with is it doesn't matter what other people believe. What matters is what you believe. And, you know, I've seen it time and time again. I was a high school teacher for 17 years, and I taught at an alternative high for 16 of those years. So kids who couldn't make it in mainstream, you know, and were at risk of not graduating showed up in my classroom. And it was that, no, I believe in you. You can do this. And then demanding that persistent, continuous effort towards that forward momentum. You know, not accepting subpar work, and just say, no, you could do this, and believing in them more than they believed in themselves many times.
Okay. So talk to us about what is the basis of this book? What do you want people to know and understand?
I want people to know, so in the book you'll find a pyramid, and that pyramid, I think, in one snapshot shows kind of the essence of the book, and that is the bottom of that pyramid is personal value, because personal value is the foundation upon which everything else is built. And so if I can choose to start believing in me, I can start taking different action steps. Mm-hmm. And then the second part is all about perspective. How do you see things? Hurt people hurt people. And if I can remember that when someone is saying things to me that are hurtful, and I can remember it's about them and not about me, then I can reach out to them and say, hey, how can I help? And I know that healed people heal people.
Uh-huh. Okay, but what if it's someone that you really can't approach and they're hurting people? I mean, what do you do in that situation if you have to be within earshot of what they're saying, but they're really not approachable, or you're afraid to approach them for them lashing out? What do you do? How do you protect yourself?
Great question. And let's use, we'll just use a specific example. So the first example we'll use is in the workplace. You know, I'm sitting at my desk, I'm working, and the lady next to me is saying hurtful, mean things. Mm-hmm. What do I do? Well, there's a couple of things that I can do. One is I can ignore her and not let her get in under my skin. And then when I go home, I tell my husband I had a bad day, can I have a hug, right? Or I can, right, or a martini, a glass of wine, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Or I can, you know, look at her and say, hey, how can I help? Well, I know that hurt people, and because you're lashing out at me, I know that you're in pain. Now, typically, one of two things will happen. The first response is going to lash out. You don't know what you're talking about, you right? Uh-huh. But uh-huh. Then she will come back around and say, thanks, I do need help. And I use that example because it absolutely happened in when I was a teacher. I had a student who was a bully. She was horrendously a bully. She was a gang member. She liked to pick on people. And one day, I'm like, I've got to reach this kid. This had been going on for probably about 3 weeks. Like, how can I reach her? And I'm like, well, guess what? She's a great example of what nobody else should ever be. She's that example. Don't ever be like this person. Mm-hmm. And so the next day in class, when she walked in, I said her name, and I said, thank you. That's all I said. She's like, for what? And, you know, I didn't say to her for being a bad example. All I said was, thank you. And that was the turning point for her. Mm-hmm. She started changing. She started being different. And we are still friends on social media. And this has been years and years ago, because I've been professional speaking now for 8 years. I was a teacher for 17 years. This is probably 20 years ago. And we're still friends on social media. Uh-huh. And I know that it was that, hey, thank you, even though she didn't know what I was thanking her for. It was heartfelt.
Yeah, interesting.
It helped her change.
She was probably, too, at a point where she was willing to make an adjustment. Do you
yes,
think?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And that is key. And I have to say that sometimes I keep pushing. Mm-hmm. You know, I want the other person to change more than the other person wants to change. Mm-hmm. And I have had to learn that it's okay to just sit back and wait And just keep planting seeds, just keep planting seeds and hoping that they will till the soil and pull the weeds and let them sprout.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happens, Jeannie, when you are in a situation like that work situation and, you know, the person doesn't hear it, okay? They don't want to hear it. They don't want to talk to you. In fact, the more you try to diffuse the situation is the time that they put more fuel on the fire. What do you do then? I mean, do you just quit? And I mean, sometimes running it up the flagpole to your boss or whatever doesn't work. So what does a person who is stuck in that situation now, today, during COVID, do?
I think today I would definitely take it up with my boss or HR. If it's just not changing and I've tried to ignore her, tried to help her or him, and it's not changing, I would go to HR. If I don't have an HR department, you know, go to your supervisor, talk to someone. And if nothing happens, I would absolutely start sending out my resume.
Okay. And is this something that you should document when you're talking to your superiors about what's going on? I mean, should you document
it in
an email?
Yeah. I document everything just because I don't have a great memory, you know, and as we know, as we age and our mind learns how to deal with things differently, it can change our memories because each time we pull it up, that memory, we change it a little bit. And if it's documented, you know, I have the date, I have the time, I have who I talked to, what we talked about, that is pretty ironclad.
Yeah, and folks, that's good information just to keep track of no matter what conversations you have with your superiors, because in today's world, things are a little bit different and interesting situations can arise. So, Jeannie, you were a teacher for 17 years, alternative education for 16 of the 17. Why'd you leave?
I felt a calling, so to speak. There were a series of events. I call them God pokes, those little coincidences that you know are more than coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
And I had had for probably a couple years, people had been telling me, you know, you need to write a book, you need to reach more people, you have this incredible program, and you need to help more people. And then I had a series of events in January of 2012 that I just could not deny and excuse anymore. And I went and I talked to my husband, and I turned in my resignation that year and started this journey that in my mind was just going to be a breeze.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality was up and down and through the weeds and hacking out a path and, you know, finding my own mentors and learning how to tame the bully inside of me. You know, that bully that's in our own head is many times worse than the external bully.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you tame that bully? Because, I mean, you know, it goes, I mean, if you're 3 years old and you're told you're worthless, that kind of stays with you. I knew of a lady whose kid was 5 years old, and she told the kid she didn't love him. And that is with him today, and I think he's 30. So how do you get rid of that? Because to me, that both of those examples are forms of bullying. So correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you asked that because I'm currently writing that book right now. And so it's where my research is and where I'm going, and it's my story and with research on how I was able to tame my bully. And it starts with that decision to start liking yourself and who am I going to listen to? So let's use the example, you know, of the little boy that was told he wasn't loved and now he's 30.
Uh-huh.
He has had many opportunities to choose the people that say, I love you, because I know they're in his life. Now, I also know that that initial voice can be louder than the subsequent ones. And if I choose to start listening to the positive people in my life, I will start to erase and negate the loud voice from the past. So
okay,
the first step is the choice.
Let me ask you a question right there, though. Say, so that was the mom that said, I don't love you. So how is grandma, auntie, uncle, and all of that going to be superimposed over mom's energy?
Well, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a choice that the person makes. I choose, you know, thank you, mom. Thank you for your input. Thank you for your voice. And I choose to not listen to it anymore. And I don't know if she is continuing to tell him that she doesn't love him. I'm imagining that they have either no relationship or she has told him that she loves him, that she's very sorry. You know, I hate to admit it, but I have said things that I horribly regret. I wish I had never said. And so I would need a lot more information. If she is continuing to tell him that she doesn't love him, why is he continuing to try to have a relationship with her?
Right.
That would be my first question. The second question is how many times, you know, if she isn't continuing to say that to him, what is she saying now? Is she sorry? Is she regretful? If so, let it go. You know, my grandma used to tell me, the more you stir a turd, the more it stinks. And it's true.
She had a point.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes you got to say, hey, you know what? Mom was human. And in that moment, she said something she regrets, and I forgive you. That's where the grace of God comes in. And then I start choosing. Now, if he does not have a relationship with her, she is still bad in his life. Awesome. Don't have a relationship with her. And choose the aunt and the uncle and the girlfriend or the wife and, you know, the people around him that absolutely love and support him. And start listening to those voices.
Okay, so if you're listening, you've got some information to help you. So, you know,
yes, we'll do a quick recap. First of all, stop stirring the turd.
Stop.
You know, there's a lot of times when I'll tell myself, stop. Because you'll get in that loop, that negative loop, stop, okay, and then choose, what am I going to focus on? Those two steps will change.
Okay. Now, you've done so much around bullying, and you're getting the word out there to the world. What has been your most rewarding situation to date where you've helped someone on their way to healing?
I love those moments. I call them light bulb moments. You know, and whether they happen in a mentoring appointment or whether they happen from stage, I love them. I think the neatest experience for me was when I got to share the stage at the Ralston Arena with Sarah Palin. And when I got off the airplane, you know, they had the person with the marker, my name, and the ride, and everything. And I kept thinking, oh, my gosh, is this really me? You know, pinching myself and just, wow. And what I realized is that you have to take the first step to take the final step. And I tell my clients that all the time. You have a dream. You have a big, hairy, audacious dream, as Darren Hardy calls it, a BHAG. And you have to take that first step. Too many people want to just race across the finish line. That was my dream when I transitioned from the classroom to the stage. I thought, oh, I'm just going to get out there, race across the finish line. It's going to be awesome. That's not true. The reason is that with each step that we take, we build a muscle. We build strength. And those struggles are what we need so that when we reach the big time, if you want to call it that, or whatever, we have the strength to handle the negative impact at that stage. Because as my influence goes up, the negativity from other people escalates as well. And so I need to be able to handle that. And so I need to take the stairs to success, as J.D. Jake says, take the stairs instead of the elevator. Too many people want the elevator. We got to take the stairs.
Well, we're such a drive-through society. We want everything instantaneously, if not last week, and we're just asking for it this week. And I think sometimes because we're such a drive-through society that we will resort to maybe unintentional bullying, but bullying in order to force what we want. We've forgotten how to slow down. And I think that's one thing that COVID is trying to teach us, although people are not listening. COVID is trying to teach us to go within, slow down, you know, take a breath. And then, you know, reorganize, make a plan, and then move forward again. And I find that people who have difficulty doing that are sometimes the biggest bullies because again, you know, that need, that urge to push. So is there any way that, not that you can shut them down, but say if you really need their product and or service, and for whatever reason you're not either willing to look for it someplace else or you can't find it someplace else, how do you work with someone like that? I mean, you know, some people are just not destined to change. They are who they are, and, you know, that's that. So how do you work with someone who is deeply steeped into bullyism, if you will?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I start with prayer for myself, prayer for them. And then second, you know, like I said, I start sending out my resume. A lot of times we feel like we have to stay in a relationship or a job or whatever it is because we've already spent so much time here, or, you know, whatever your excuse is. It's the story that we're telling ourselves that keeps us trapped. Not the circumstances. It's the story regarding the circumstances. And so if I can change my story, I can change my life. So let's go back to the scenario where I have a coworker bullying me. If I tell myself the story, okay, it's time to move. Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? And I start looking because I have the thought, I can. I'm going to start looking, I'm going to find something, and I'm going to be able to transition. But if I tell myself, oh, this is all I ever get. Everybody's always mean to me. I don't know why, but they are. I'm nice. If I tell that story, I stay stuck. So it comes down to what is the story that you're telling yourself.
And you can always flip that script, if you will.
Yeah, flip the script, change the page, get rid of the book, you know, whatever. So many people, see, our mind is great at deleting, generalizing, and distorting the truth. We either make it better than it was or worse than it was, or we just delete it all together, right? Or we say everybody is. I'll give you an example. I'm 53 years old. And for most of my life, I was in great shape. You know, I was a PE teacher, basketball coach, you know, all of those things. Well, then I transitioned to the stage, and then working out wasn't as huge of an impact. And so slowly, over the last few years, I've gained some weight. And I remember telling myself, well, that's okay. I'm, you know, 51. It's okay if I'm not in great shape. Right? Generalizing. Well, they're fat. They're out of shape. And then I went, wait a minute. Hang on. I want to be a 50-year-old banging grandma. You know, I want to go snow skiing with my grandkids. I don't have any yet. I may soon. And I want to go snow skiing with my kids, my grandkids. I want to be 53 years young, not 53 years old. And so it was turning that, but I had to catch myself in my script first before I could change it. The first law of change is awareness that there needs to be a change.
Why is it that some people, and I'm really focusing on women with this question, they fall into the trap of attracting to themselves the same type low vibrational energy of a man, and they think that this one is going to be it. And then they're very confused when this one is worse than the last three. So there has to be some level of accepting bullying on top of that, because I would think any type of abuse, whether it's physical, emotional, or, you know, otherwise, is abuse. So what do you say to women who just can't seem to get out of that energy that, you know, that they have to settle for whatever decides to take a look at them?
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful question. And I have a client who recently went through this. And, you know, I had tried, hey, you're giving off a vibration, and they just couldn't understand it. So what we did was we went and we spent some time. Now, this was before COVID, so this was last year. And we went to the mall, and we just sat at the mall, and I said, okay, look at this person walking towards us. What do you think they're thinking? What do you think they're feeling? And at first, I don't know, I can't tell. Okay, all right, just guess. What if he had to guess? And as they started paying attention to other people, they could start seeing other people's vibrational energy. And I said, you do the same thing. You give off a vibrational energy. And the reason that you have this pattern of predators finding you is because they can see your energy as well. And you attract them because they know that they can abuse you and you won't do anything. They know that they can be in control because they see your energy. The person with the highest vibration wins always.
That is very true.
So you've got to bring your energy up.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, you know, you got to get out of the mindset that you're living in. But boy, it's so difficult for some people, especially after a certain age. And I'm going to put that at 50. And again, I'm speaking regarding women, because most of my client base is women, and so many of them are just so stuck into whatever has happened in the past that it seems like it's difficult for them to release that energy that you were talking about during the show.
Yeah, and you get stuck in your comfort zone because you know, just like the gentleman can see you as prey, you're stuck in that role. And you believe that's all you're worth. And so if we go back to the book, The Personal Value Foundation, I deserve to be treated with respect. I deserve to be loved. I deserve to be supported. Those are all things that a woman who is stuck in a abusive situation needs to start saying. Mm-hmm. And so I liken it to, you know, have you ever split wood? Or seen it done? Okay,
yeah,
perfect. I grew up on a farm, so we did a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you got that big, huge log, and you got to get the wedge and pound on it to get it to split.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think of me as the block of wood.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of my head is the wedge. And every time I say something negative, I smack that wedge.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I allow someone else to say something negative to me, they smack that wedge. And as that wedge is slowly driven down through me, I first of all lose my ability to have clarity in what it is I want. I get confused. And so I don't know what I want, so I accept someone else's version of what I should be. Then the second part I lose is my vision. I can't see where I want to go. And then I lose my voice, and I go quiet. And then it starts to break my heart. I don't even value myself anymore. I don't care about myself anymore. And pretty soon, I'm split, just like that log. But here's the hopeful part, okay? If I stop banging on the wedge, and I start saying positive things to myself, I push the wedge out. And you will see people do the exact reverse of what just happened when they were being split. First of all, they'll start saying things to them. I believe in me. I'm valuable. I'm loved. I'm needed. I'm special. And at first, it feels like a lie. Keep saying it. And then you'll slowly start pushing that wedge out, and you'll start to feel again. And then you'll find your voice. And then you'll find your vision of where you want to go, and then you'll gain clarity, and you'll be able to do it.
Okay, and folks, have a little bit of belief in yourself that you can do it. Now, Jeannie, in the book you talk about internal and external bullies. What are they, and which one is worse?
The internal bully is the one that's between my ears. The external bully is the one that is outside of me saying things to me. Usually, the external bully has power because of the internal bully. So in my opinion, the internal bully is the worst, which in a way is good news because I can control the internal bully. I can't control the external bully. And so here's an example. I was teaching class, and I was standing at my door because I love to welcome my students into my classroom. And I see, we'll call him Tom. Tom's walking down the hall, and another student says something to him. It wasn't really inflammatory. You know, we have to remember we had a lot of swear words and things like that in the school. But it was a swear word, but I didn't think it was really that bad. Tom was devastated. He came in, and he's upset. He's, you know, angry, all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, whoa, okay. Then the very next class period, I'm standing at my door again, and we'll say Brian's walking down the hall. And Brian, in my opinion, got accosted verbally. I mean, it was pretty horrendous. And he walked in, I'm like, hey, dude, you okay? He's like, that guy's an idiot. And that was the moment that bullyproofing you started to form in my mind. And I said, what's the difference between Tom and Brian? And I started doing tons of research with my students, reading stories, looking at my own life. The difference was Brian knew who he was. And the student told him something that he didn't believe. So that student was an idiot. Tom allowed the other student to define who he was.
Okay.
We've got to define who we want to be and then find people that support that belief and uplift us. And when somebody takes away from it, we say thank you and goodbye.
Okay. Easier said than done. But how do we build up our self-esteem in the first place? I mean, you've written this book, and, you know, in my opinion, it is geared toward, you know, like teens, maybe adolescents, teens, to help them get past bullying. But maybe the parents need this and start teaching it, like, at birth? What are
your thoughts? I absolutely agree. So it was definitely written with junior high school students in mind. And as we've been able to travel the country and now certain parts of the world, and we get letters and emails from all over, many adults have said that to me, Jeannie, this is a phenomenal book. I wish I would have had it when I was younger, absolutely, but I'm so glad I have it now. And it's that learning how to believe in me first. Sometimes that can be difficult. And what I invite you to do is find a reason to believe in you. Because, you know, I'm sure you've heard Simon Sinek talk about start with why. Why do you need to have good personal value? I've had so many of my clients say, well, mine doesn't matter as much, but my kids, I'm here for my kids. Well, guess what? Our kids learn by watching their parents. And so if I model low self-esteem, if I model low personal value, guess what my kids learn? The exact same thing. So the first thing you need to do to start turning the Titanic, so to speak, is you've got to start taking care of yourself and say, I'm worth it. So if you've got little kids or you're a caregiver, many times you put everybody else's needs before yours. Stop. Take 10 minutes a day and just say, mom's in her bedroom or mom's in the office or mom's whatever, and you sit down and you read your favorite book, or, you know, you soak in the bathtub. Take care of you and let your kids know that, hey, guess what? Mom's going to go take care of herself. You guys take care of you. I'll be out at such and such a time. Personal value is a decision that you make and then action that you take.
Okay, and you just have to be consistent with it. Now, we're doing living during this time of COVID, and it's been since March. Have you noticed that bullying, and I guess this might be just cyberbullying, I don't know about in person, if people are truly obeying the scientists. Have you noticed that bullying has increased, decreased? What are your thoughts on that?
So if you look at some of the studies, and I'm sorry I don't have the research names right in front of me, but some of the research has said that domestic violence has increased significantly. My belief for that is because people are stressed. Stress causes us to go into our limbic brain. Our limbic brain is where our fight, flight, or freeze is controlled. And so we don't think, because our neocortex is shut down when our limbic brain is online so that we can react and survive. And so if I'm stressed, I'm reacting, I'm not acting. And there's a big difference between the two. So you have stress that is much higher. You have fear that is much higher because you're constantly hearing horrible statistics. You're constantly, you know, that constantly negative news that's coming at you all the time. And so more and more people are being affected by it. Mm-hmm. And so my first thing to say is take a break. Get away from it. Shut off the TV. You don't need to know those things. Take a break. Refill yourself with things that help you have hope, love, charity. We spend time. Now, my youngest is 22, mm-hmm. and I love that he still lives with me. My daughter, they had some financial issues, and so my son and my daughter both have come back home, and I absolutely love it because we're able to still have family night, and mm-hmm. we play games, and we talk, and that is so valuable. That's incredible time because I'm able to model appropriate thinking, decision-making, planning. Because while you're playing that game, you can talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important.
Yeah, it is. So you're very fortunate to have that. And other parents out there, you know, if you're fortunate enough, great. And if not, you know, you can always get together via Zoom or if you feel in person, if you feel that is safe for you.
Right.
Jean, your time is almost up.
You can do a
up.
Zoom call, too.
Yeah, you definitely can. Done that many times with relatives. Our time is almost up. What pearl of wisdom would you like to leave with us today?
I would love to offer them an article that I've written. Jeannie at Jeannie Cisco Meth, send me an email, jeannie@jeanniecisco.com, and I'd love to have an article that I wrote specifically for your audience. And I just want you to remember that you are valuable, that you are loved, and that you are needed in this time and space. I invite you to take those into your heart and really start believing them because it's true.
Okay. And I'm writing because I can't talk and write at the same time. So, okay, we got that down. I got your email address. It's like, I can't do this. Well, Jeannie, thank you so much for being with us again and sharing information on, you know, bully-proofing yourself and your family.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And the bullyproofingyoubook.com is a whole home study course. The book, I'll actually autograph it. I'll mail it out to you, get it in the mail. And then there's some videos and a workbook that is digitally delivered to you so you can get started on it right away. And it's a powerful tool.
Okay, you've got it. And to the audience, thank you for being with us today as we collectively get over it. And please remember that the most important choice that you make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of having a bully-proof life. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Agape.